Welcome back to the Gospel. Boy, oh boy, was it a weekend of football. We're going to break it all down for you, let you know where the coaches and the quarterbacks stand now that they have won or lost, our takes on the game, and also there's some moving pieces as far as new hires are concerned. We'll talk a little bit about that. I'm your host, Zay, the Fantasy Football Fiend, and I have my guy, the Fantasy Nostradamus, Young Van, to holler at the people, my guy.
What's going on out there?
BK won't be with us on this evening. He had a family emergency. Prayers up for BK and the fam. And we will be able to speak with him again on this Thursday. But let's go ahead and dive right in. The Bills take out the Ravens 27-25. This game, I don't know if it was par for the course. I definitely felt it was going to be a close game. I'm kind of feeling like this is going to hurt Lamar more than it helps Josh Allen, if that makes sense, if he doesn't get past Kansas City. But what was your view of this game? What does it do with Lamar's legacy? Does it do anything for Josh Allen's legacy?
Well, firstly, I'm tired of these. To be honest with you, man, I get it. It's the playoffs, and it's where your region is, but I'm really tired of these bad weather games, man. They don't have bad weather Super Bowl games, so I don't think we should have bad weather playoff games. They'll never have a Super Bowl in Buffalo. There will never be a Super Bowl in Green Bay. There will never be a Super Bowl in none of those northern cities, right, unless they got a dome. And right. I feel the same way about the playoffs, because like in both games, in the Ravens game and also the Eagles game, I think weather played a part. And I think the other team would have been victorious in both games if it wasn't due to the weather. But that being said, these two quarterbacks are connected at the hip as far as legacy. For some reason, they can. But I think Lamar is always judged unfairly.
Agreed.
You know what I'm saying? And no one never bring up Josh Allen as far as he didn't make it to a Super Bowl either. You know what I'm saying? Different things like that. But they're clear, and he's not a two-time, maybe about to be three-time MVP, but they bring it up a lot. So definitely hurts Lamar more than Josh Allen, for sure, from that perspective. But Lamar didn't lose this game, in my opinion. When the rubber needed to meet the road, he made the play. They needed 80 yards plus to drive to give an opportunity to tie the game, and he drove down the field and did that. So he did his part, and so I'm not really going to put the game on him per se, in my opinion.
You don't think that his two turnovers would have saved those 2 points that they lost by?
I mean, for one, the interception, that's fine. But the fumble, that was due to a bad snap.
True.
I forget, the ball was snapped badly. He went and got it, grabbed it. He didn't really have a good grasp on it, try to make a play, and fumbled it. So I really don't want to put a fumble on him per se. I mean, he could have just, you know, took it and fell to the ground. But we've seen Lamar make plays off the same thing all regular season, right? So that's what he was trying to do. The weather didn't permit, but
To your previous point, the weather played a huge part in him losing that ball versus it being a regular Lamar play. So
that was a bad snap. But let's not forget, Andrews, who dropped the 2-point conversion, also fumbled.
Yeah.
So we can't just say, well, those two Lamar turnovers lost his game.
Eagles beat the Rams 28-22. Another pretty close game. I, for one, really didn't believe that winning this game would tarnish or increase Matthew Stafford's legacy, if you will. He has a Super Bowl. He has his history with Detroit. He has his history with the Rams. Unless he wins another Super Bowl, I don't really think winning a few more playoff games is really going to help or hurt him too bad. He's one of those quarterbacks that we really don't see people kind of gang up on, if that makes sense. Whether he does something right or wrong, we really don't see the pundits, if you will, kind of calling him to the carpet, mostly because he normally plays well. In this particular situation, it was interesting. I was looking like, is Cooper Kupp hurt? Like, what's going on with Kupp right now? And then he finally caught a ball. I was like, oh, okay, so he is out there. There were drops galore. Williams fumbled the ball at a very inopportune time. Honestly, this game was right there for the taking, humble opinion, as far as the Rams are concerned. The Eagles did pull it out. But the Eagles look like, to me, like they're holding on versus really thriving in the playoffs right now.
Mm-hmm.
What was your outlook as far as that game was concerned? And do you think that this helps, hurts, doesn't really do anything as far as Stafford and McVay are concerned?
No, I don't think it hurts or help. Well, Stafford, I think solidified as far as his career is concerned. I mean, let's face it, he played the best out of every quarterback this past Sunday. That goes for Mahomes, Hurts, Josh Allen, and Lamar. I mean, he played the best. Again, I just think, this bad weather, man, I think these really played a part in this game as well, even though they still had the opportunity to win the game. I'm just through with this snow, man. I get it. It's kind of like a home field advantage type of thing. But
yeah,
if you play in the AFC and you're not the Jags or the Dolphins, chances are you could be in this type of game because all the AFC teams are up north. But no, I think he solidified whether he win or lose. They kind of overachieved anyway, in my opinion.
Speaking of overachievers, the Commanders upset the Lions 45-31. What does this do for Jared Goff's legacy, if you will? Do the Lions have a Goff problem, or was this just what happened to happen on this particular day? Also, on the other side of that coin, are the Commanders really like that? Like right now, the Commanders is like the best team in the playoff, like, including Kansas City. So what's your outlook on them going forward? Is Jaden Daniels the best rookie quarterback you've ever seen? Like, I mean, I'm finding it difficult to compare anyone else in the moment, but what was your takeaway as far as this Commanders versus the Lions upset 45-31?
This is what I said was going to happen, right?
You did. I mean, indeed.
So it's really no surprise. It, of course, it's deemed an upset because you got the number one team, I think 15-2, losing to a team like Washington, but man, styles make fights. And this is one of those things. I just seen it upset coming, looming. I do think Jaden Daniels is probably the best rookie quarterback of all time, is looking that way. And if he's able, which I think he will, to lead his team to a Super Bowl in his first year, it's like Magic Johnson-like, you know what I'm saying, going to the championship as a rookie. But I kind of want to go back to the Marcus, the Lattimore trade.
Oh, yeah.
That
New Orleans Saints traded Marcus Lattimore to the Commanders to be their number one cornerback. Yeah.
So that trade was key. He didn't give up any passes, any catches, any yards, anything this past Sunday. And also because the other guys are playing well as well. But for him to come in and take the number one spot and you take the other good guys and let them play, it just makes it that much better. They do need help stopping the run, you know. But let's think about it. When have you ever seen the team with the most cap space in a championship game? So, like I've been saying months ago, this is something that the league is going to have to tend to for the next foreseeable future.
Yeah. Do we think Sirianni holds on to his job if the Commanders beat the Eagles this coming weekend?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think if he was playing the 49ers, it wouldn't be so bad.
Okay.
But if it's the Commanders, you lose to this team, I think it's going to be a different feeling in that room because they're pretty much boom or bust. They all in, all the chips in the middle of the table. As you can see, Rosen? Whatever free agent we need, he's bringing them in. He's trying. He's put all the chips in the middle of the table. So, I think his job will be I don't think he should be fired, but I think this is Philadelphia, right? going to be some the fans, right? So there's going to be some grumbling.
The fans will fire him even if the GM don't.
Absolutely. So it's going to be some grumbling for sure if they lose to the Washington Commanders.
We have a little bit of movement as far as coaches are concerned. Ben Johnson has now been introduced as the head coach of the Chicago Bears. How do you feel about this hire? And do you feel like they'll be able to take this hire and kind of go to the next level as far as Caleb and that offense is concerned and actually be able to produce in the way a lot of people thought that they would be able to produce this offseason when we were looking at Caleb kind of being set up with the most weapons that we've seen a rookie quarterback around? And it's unfortunate for Caleb, but Jaden Daniels came out year one and showed that Chicago made the wrong decision. Like, immediately. He has less weapons. He has a – and we'll get to the coach in just a second, but he has less weapons. He had to do more as a quarterback. More was asked of him. Are we feeling like Chicago making the Ben Johnson move is going to be able to now catch up or at least make moves in the right direction? Or is this just another move and we'll see what happens, but – it could be another hot coordinator that ends up blowing up before he brings the team up.
Well, he's one of the hottest coaches, right? Everybody got their
the hottest right now.
Yeah. And with them having the young quarterback that they have, I think it's a great hire. I like to see them. I'm glad the direction they went in. At least they got an offensive mind, the head coach. But Eberflus is a defensive guy. So I think having an offensive mind guy in there maybe will help the franchise quarterback and Caleb Williams. So for that reason, I think it's a good move for them. He knows the division well as well. I mean,
yeah,
by signing within the division. So I think that's also a plus as well. So I'm cool.
And they were also saying that they were looking at hiring Dennis Allen, the former head coach of the New Orleans Saints, as their D coordinator, yes. Which honestly, that's the position I kind of feel like he should have been in. Like, he didn't really fit as a head coach, in my humble opinion. But as a D coordinator with that defense, I know it's difficult to say, but he may actually be able to take that defense to the next level. And if that defense can go to the next level and the offense takes a step forward, I believe they'll be on par with at least – half of their division. I think they'll probably be on par with Green Bay at that point. I don't think they'll be on par with the Lions yet or with Minnesota, depending on what moves Minnesota makes, but they'll definitely be going in the right direction. Another coach that I wanted to talk about right quick, or actually I want to talk about an owner. Jerry Jones could right now have Dan Quinn as his head coach. And Dan Quinn took a team that was worse than Dallas, and now they're in the NFC Championship, which means Jaden Daniels is now about to play in a game that Dak Prescott has never played in.
Hmm.
Did you expect for the turnaround to be this quick? And how much egg does Jerry Jones have on his face when the guy that's the head coach of Washington could have been his head coach, and he actually took less and did more than McCarthy did with the Dallas Cowboys?
Firstly, I am surprised a little bit by how quick he's got it together in Washington. I knew it was coming. I said it would come due to him drafted and that cap space. So I was going to give it another year or two. But, I mean, man, they already arrived here already. But this is before the Lattimore trade. Yes, he could have had Quinn as a head coach, but even if Quinn was the head coach of the Cowboys, who's to say he'd be at this point? Because the Cowboys wouldn't have Jaden Daniels if they have Dak Prescott.
Well, that's true.
Right?
That's true.
And who would the offensive coordinator be at that point? I just think that – what's my guy name? Washington's offensive coordinator.
Dad, can't remember his name right now. Right. He's the head coach of Arizona.
Right. I just think he was the perfect fit for this guy. Okay. If Jaden Daniels, I think Jaden Daniels is probably going to be good, you know, regardless. But if he had Doug Peterson or if he had Chip Kelly or if he had McDaniels or who knows what he will look like. I just think those two are a perfect marriage, and it just flows, man. So I wouldn't necessarily say Jerry would desperately has egg on his face due to not having Quinn as a head coach, because Quinn has been a head coach before.
True.
So
I mean, he got Atlanta to the Super Bowl. I mean, they ain't win it, but they got to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Dallas ain't made it to an NFC championship. So I mean,
again, who was his offensive coordinator?
With Atlanta.
Shanahan.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? So I tell you what, he's picking the right coordinators, I tell you that. Offensively, he did a great job at that. And this is no different. So
okay. The Jets are about 90% in on Aaron Glenn. If he doesn't go to the Jets, New Orleans is holding out hope that they'll be able to scoop him up. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't see him being very successful at either spot. I see what he sees in the Jets as far as the defensive pieces that they have, and him being a DC kind of, you know, salivating with getting his hands on that defense. But unless you're going to bring in an all-star cast as far as the rest of your staff is concerned, I don't see the offense catching up to the defense, and I don't see you doing very much in that division or in that conference. And what I do see with the Jets is you having about 2 to 3 years max to prove yourself, and about the time that you get the groceries in the house that you wanted to work with, you won't have a job anymore.
Mm.
I don't know if New Orleans will be a little bit more reluctant to move on. I kind of feel like New Orleans would be the better spot. Their defense has been above board, and having a defensive guy there can bring a little bit more out of that defense. But more importantly, they have a running back. They have a decent quarterback, not the best of the best, definitely not the worst of the worst. Wide receivers. They have the pieces on offense that if you can slow down the other team's offense, you can have some success. The Jets just seem to do what the Jets do more often than not. So I don't know why that's his choice of job. It was basically put out there that if he's offered that job, that he would take it. And maybe it's just best of what's left type situation. Now, there aren't very many good jobs that are currently open. So maybe he's just trying to go somewhere where what he does the best can shine, even if, well, honestly, no, that ain't going to work. Robert Saleh had them boys as the number 5 defense in the league and got fired midseason. So what is it that you're going to do there that's going to bring about a different result? I just don't like the Jets front office for any head coach, especially not a first-time head coach that doesn't have the cachet to be able to say it's not on me. Am I looking at this from, I would say, from a place of, it's just a bad vibe. Am I looking at it from the wrong perspective, or do you kind of see it the same way?
Well, I think what gives him a little edge, he's a former player of the Jets.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
okay.
So I think that's maybe what it is, because in my opinion.
So he's trying to go to the team. Okay. So he's trying to pull a Mike Vrabel, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes more sense.
He's from New Jersey. So.
Okay.
But
does that make the job better?
In all honesty, if you lay the cards out in front of me, I think the Jets' job is better than the Saints' job. I'll put it like this. I think the Jets have more talent.
Okay.
I think the New Orleans job is an easier division to win, if that makes sense.
For sure.
Jets have more, you know, of course, the quarterback, you know, what's going to happen there. But as far as everything else, there's more pieces to work with defensively. If he's a defensive guy, he had a defense that's already kind of assembled. He just got to put his stuff in. With a New Orleans team, you know, you got Cameron Jordan, who's getting older. You got a couple players on there. Good players, but I just think the Jets defense is a lot better. That being said, I don't think, to me, and I'm all for people of my color getting opportunities. I just don't think he's the best available coach. in my opinion. I think there's a lot more guys out there. I'd rather have Flores than have Glenn.
I agree. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So lucky him, you know what I mean? In all honesty.
We got the Raiders.
Real quick, the Detroit defense, I mean, it's good, but it's not like it's been world-renowned. Like,
no, they were a lot better before they got so injured. Got a ton of guys that ended up not playing very much this year. But prior to that, they had one of the better defenses in the league. But to lose that many guys and still kind of hold it in the road, mm-hmm. I think that kind of speaks towards what you're able to do with less than. So I don't know where they ended up this year, defensively speaking. I think that may actually help his case more than it hurts it, because he was able to get some play out of guys that wasn't even supposed to be on the field. So I think if you sell it right, that can be like a feather in your cap and not something held against you, as long as you know how to sell that point. But the Raiders, now that the Ben Johnson sweepstakes is over, they are favoring Pete Carroll. I kind of like this move. He's a guy that can settle things down a little bit. He's a guy that is going to work through the defense, and he just wants his offense to not turn the ball over mm-hmm. and to stay on schedule. I think that he can figure out a way to get that piece done. This team is eerily similar to what Seattle was when he took that job. Now, can he find a Russell Wilson to hold it in the road to kind of, you know, just don't turn the ball over, run the ball every now and then so we can get a – you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, you know who might be a very good piece for this offense if that coach goes there? Justin Fields. I feel like Justin Fields will give them the same type of player that Russ was in Seattle at that time. Not what Russ turned into, but what he was at that time. He can pick up a few yards on his feet. He can make all the throws, even if not all the time. But if you're going to depend on the defense and you just need a guy that can pick up that first down here or there and just kind of make sure that this person doesn't lose the game for you, I think he showed you that in Pittsburgh this year. Yeah. I mean, he even had a better record than what Russell Wilson had when it came down to the end of it. And he'll also be a free agent. So if he doesn't really have a good feeling about what's going to be going down in Pittsburgh, I believe that they would readily accept him. Even if they went the route of getting another quarterback, he would be like the guy, the stopgap, if you will, and play the exact type of football that Pete Carroll likes. But is there another coach out there that you feel would be a better fit for the Raiders? How do you feel about the Pete Carroll fit if they do go that direction?
Lord mercy. Oh, man, the Raiders. I mean, Pete Carroll, he cool. I still like Flores.
I wonder what happened in New England with Flores, because I would think if there was any type of relationship there, Brady would have went to him next. He went to Vrabel, and Flores was, I want to say, the DC in New England while Tom Brady was there. But you haven't heard Tom mention his name at all. So I wonder if behind the curtains there's something known by Brady that the general public doesn't know as far as Brian Flores is concerned.
So maybe they don't want to bring in a guy with more head coaching experience.
Well, okay.
Maybe,
yeah, I can see that.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe not a defensive minded guy per se. I mean, Pete Carroll has won in this league. So the championship experience as well. Carroll, he cool, man. But I still think there's, you know, some other guys out there. I feel. I mean, why not go after the OC from the Washington? Give him another shot.
I think he's gonna end up staying in Washington for another year.
I think he is too. But I think also, I mean, it may be still a tempting job with a high draft pick where you can kind of pick your own quarterback as well. I mean,
well, let me ask you this. Could it, I know it's not likely, but what if you went the direction of a Mike McCarthy, head coaching experience, offensive side of the ball, and there's been some rumors out there that McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers may want to hook back up. If McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers are in Vegas, maybe Devontae Adams isn't opposed to going back to Vegas.
No, he said he would.
Okay, perfect. Well, so you killing three birds with one stone at that point. And none of them are getting paid a whole lot.
Yep.
They already know the offense. And you have a guy with the requisite experience. Maybe you bring in another guy that as an assistant head coach on the DC side of things. Mm-hmm. That can kind of make sure that that goes the way it's supposed to go. But the thing with Vegas is I feel like they need a quote-unquote adult in the room, not somebody that's trying to find their way. Maybe Gerard Mayo had a good relationship with Tom Brady. He was pretty decent as far as a DC is concerned. Maybe he gets an opportunity to get right back out there in the workforce. I can see that relationship working out well. And then he'll get another opportunity to have a different perspective of what it is to be a head coach under a different guy. And maybe that lessens the amount of time that it'll take for him to get another opportunity somewhere. Or maybe he's the coach in wait with McCarthy. I think McCarthy might be out the door when Aaron Rodgers is out the door, which is probably a year or two as far as retirement is concerned. So maybe you set yourself up as the next man up in that situation, and now the groceries have already been prepared. You aren't starting out behind the power curve like you did in New England because you had no groceries at all, but was expected to be a gourmet chef immediately. Right. So how do we feel about that type of a setup?
And as far as the Raiders go?
Yeah, as far as the Raiders, yeah.
I just think, in all honesty, I don't care who comes in there. They got to draft better.
Yeah. Tom Brady's supposed to be taking over the draft, essentially.
You got to draft better. They lost a first-round pick. I mean, it was a cornerback. I want to say his name was Route or something like that.
You said corner?
Yeah, they had like a first-round pick corner who was no longer on the team.
What you're talking about. I don't remember. I don't think he's playing anymore.
Right, he's no longer on the team. I think it was Arnett or something like that. You have Henry Ruggs. He's in jail.
Yeah.
That was a first round pick.
Yeah.
So you drafted Zamir White.
Yeah.
Who's like a blind dog in the meat market. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just think you got to hit better on your draft picks because these people are building their teams off the draft. A lot of them are.
Yeah.
Teams like Detroit, they're not like getting free agents in there. I mean, they got Goff with a trade, but they traded a guy that they drafted, Hutchinson, St. Brown. Like, these are homegrown guys, right? So I just think you got to do better in your draft in order to fix your team. So I don't care if John Madden comes out the grave and goes back to the Raiders. If you're not getting the working through the draft, I think that's what's missing. So I don't really care who the coach is, but you got to get it right at the quarterback position, and you got to get it right through the draft, man.
McDaniels back to the Patriots. Do you think this is a good move for Drake May? Do you think it's a good move for Mike Vrabel? Is it one of those, I would say, lateral? Do you think it's taking a step back? Like, what are we doing here with McDaniels?
Is Tom Brady not quarterback? It don't mean nothing. I haven't seen any offensive guys, Charlie Weiss, what's my man name with the Texans?
With the Texans?
Used to be the Texans head coach, went to Alabama, so he's the offensive coordinator. It was McDaniels left, went, he didn't do nothing.
Sharkeason?
Not Shark. Brian, not Bill. Billy.
Not Slovic.
Not Brian Billy. Brian, he's the head coach for the Houston Texans all over.
Oh,
he came back.
Yeah. He got another job in college.
Is Brian something?
Is it O'Brien? Like Bill, not Bill O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien. Okay.
Boom. So Bill O'Brien, he left and didn't do nothing. Charlie Weiss left and didn't do nothing. McDaniels left and didn't do nothing. You know why? Because Tom Brady was the quarterback. So now,
well, I mean, he did win 11 games with Matt Castle.
Tom Brady was the quarterback. And guess what? Didn't make the playoffs in those 11 games. Let's not forget that. So, yeah, he won 11, but they didn't make the playoffs.
That was circumstantial, though. They would have made the playoffs almost any other year.
I remember that season.
I'll say this. Right now, for the Patriots, winning 11 games, hell, winning 8 games is a huge come-up.
Man, McDaniel, this, how many times has McDaniel been back and forth?
But I've not seen him be a bad OC. Been a horrible head coach, but we can say that for a lot of guys that they just aren't head coaches.
Wasn't he the OC? Who's the OC Mac Jones first year? Was it O'Brien or was it him?
Mac Jones first year, I want to say, no, it was McDaniels his first year, and then McDaniels went and took the head coaching job, and Matt Patricia was the OC, and they completely screwed the pooch on that one.
That's what I'm saying, like. I haven't seen any of these coordinators go elsewhere and do anything.
But he's going back to where he did do something because he did. I mean, Mac Jones was a all-star year one.
Yeah, but we already know what the Pro Bowl is, right? Snoop Hundley made the Pro Bowl.
Well, this is true.
Snoop Hundley made the Pro Bowl. So
I think a lot of people got hurt that year or something funky happened where a lot of guys got in that would have ordinarily not gotten Jones in. Made. But he had Mac Jones looking above average. I mean, and if Drake May is just a better prospect in general than Mac Jones, I could see him getting him to that level or above. So, I mean, I'll say we could have done worse, and I don't know who's currently available that would have taken the job that is better.
Right. I mean, of course, y'all could do worse, but I don't think it's back to, you know, winning time.
No. I just think it's way better than what we've had since he left. I'll put it that way. And for Drake May to do what he did this past year, the way that he went about doing it, without a guy that I would say consistently puts up numbers as far as offense is concerned, I definitely think it'll be a step in the right direction. And then if things don't get to the ultimate ceiling that we're looking for, you can always replace the OC. Like that ain't no issue. But as far as building him up to equip him with what is necessary for a quarterback to be a good quarterback, I think you could do a lot worse than.
Would you rather have Doug Peterson or McDaniel as an OC?
Doug Peterson. I don't know if he would have taken the job, though. That's the thing. I don't know who all what phone calls were made or
who. That's an in-house hire. You know that.
Yeah,
it's getting the band. It's getting the band back together. It's getting the band back together.
Okay.
That's why McDaniel's there. McDaniel's not getting a call. I guarantee you, he wouldn't get a call from nowhere.
Wow. I can agree with that. I can agree with that. So. That pretty much wraps it up as far as the NFL is concerned. There was a little game play on just yesterday. And from what I hear, the Ohio State Buckeyes are the inaugural 12-team playoff champion, taking out Notre Dame. I'm head over heels about the championship. My only concern, and I know you're not supposed to bring up a concern on the heels of saying we just won the championship, but this is my concern. I feel like that championship will give Ryan Day way too much leeway.
Oh, for sure.
I don't feel like it was, and when I say this, y'all, please don't hear what I'm not saying. There was a distinct difference between the style of play on offense when we know for certain that Ryan Day was the one leading the charge there versus when we know for certain that Chip Kelly took over the play call. Now, if what we're going to do going forward is follow that same pattern that won us the championship and Ryan Day won't be the captain, well, he'll be the captain of the ship, but he won't be the one steering it, I'm all for it. You showed me that will work. Mm-hmm. But my reticence is that he goes back to what he's always going back to, which is playing scared versus playing with that level of confidence that the players and the other coaches can feed off of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe for Marcus Freeman, I don't believe that anybody, including Notre Dame fans, had them making it this far.
Right.
I really don't. So I don't believe that the championship loss hurts him as much as the championship win helped Ryan Day. Do you feel the same, or a loss is a loss is a loss, and when you lose, it damages your legacy regardless of whether you're supposed to be there or not? You were, and you didn't get the job done. What lens are you looking at this situation through, and what were your overall thoughts on the game?
A really good game. I thought Notre Dame, they overachieved.
Yeah, agreed.
You had big bets on this game. I see one guy bet $100,000 on this game to win $27,000, right? So you won $27,000 off $100,000. The $20 million team, right? You spend $20 million in NIL. This is what you're going to get. But again, Day was fighting for his job. Let's be clear.
Yeah.
He needed to win this game. I'm not saying he would have been fired, but it would have been some, because you got to beat Michigan. Man, at the end of the day, you can't do both, right? You got to pick a struggle.
Correct.
You can't lose to Michigan and lose a ship. Like, you got to pick a struggle. Which one is it? Because we can suck all year long and we beat Michigan, we had an okay season, right? But you can't lose to Michigan and lose the ship. So I thought it did more for him than as far as Freeman go. I think Freeman, he got a team, he overachieved. This is a Catholic team, right? This is Notre Dame. They always have decent football.
And independent, not a part of a conference. Yes. So they didn't have the benefit of going to, neither team went to a conference championship game. Both teams in the championship didn't win a conference championship.
So they always have decent teams, but, I mean, this is Freeman's what? Second, third year? Well, how many years has been there?
I want to say Brian Kelly has now been with LSU for
– no.
This is either his Freeman, third year. He took over for Brian Kelly.
Right. So
I want to say this is year three for Brian Kelly and LSU, so it would be year three for
Freeman. I think, in my opinion, he earned himself more money.
Yeah, agreed.
You know what I mean?
One way or another, whether it be on that team or another.
Yeah, really good coach, man. Young. He's overachieving. I thought he earned himself a bigger check. And they probably gonna give him a little bit more NIL to work with, because they probably was like, if we had a little bit more, we put it, you know what I mean? Because they was right there.
Notre Dame got money. Yeah. It was just a matter of not knowing whether or not it would be money well spent to go out and buy all these groceries, not knowing if he can kind of cook it up and get them where they need to go.
Right.
But yeah, I agree with you 100% on that. Now, you brought up something. Ohio State spent $20 million on NIL, won the championship.
Yeah.
This isn't, I would say, fandom speaking here, but when you win a championship and you show you're willing to spend money, it's some dogs coming.
Oh, absolutely.
It's some dogs coming. Yeah. Like this did for the Big Ten what Bama and Georgia did for the SEC before they were supposed to be paying people, but everybody knew they was. Now that you don't even have to hide the fact that you're paying people, and you know we got it to spend, and you know you have an opportunity to vie for a championship, because guess what? I cannot remember the last time Ohio State finished outside of the top 12. So even your worst case scenario is losing to Michigan, not making it to a conference championship, but still having an opportunity every year to fight for a championship. Alabama took a step back. They ended up being at the final rankings. They were just two spots above Carolina. As of right now, the way too early rankings have Carolina as, I want to say, 10 or 11, and Alabama at like 13, 14. I don't know if it works out that way, but with the quarterback that Carolina has and with the players they've been able to flip to go to Carolina?
I try to tell you. There's some old money in Columbia, man. I promise you.
but okay. Let me ask the question this way. Does the fact that several of these other teams in the SEC are going to be spending money on players that would have otherwise ended up in an Alabama or a Georgia. Does this now, mediocre would be too strong of a word, but does it lessen the ceiling of the SEC? Because the top teams won't necessarily get the best players, and that was always the case before.
Well, the thing that the SEC has working in its favor is good old weather, right? You can't see it, things like that that matter. You got Florida kids, Georgia kids, they don't want to play in Ohio.
California kids, cold. Texas kids.
You know what I mean? It's cold up there, man. Yeah. I've never left my, let's think about how many kids have never left the state that they live in. And now they're 18, 17 years old, and you're about to ship them off somewhere.
Well, I mean, if you got NFL dreams, you can't just say, I only want to be drafted by a warm weather, by a warm weather team.
But that's the thing, though. When we talk about NFL dreams, what's the Alabama people going to say? We got Julio Jones. We got Jalen Hurts. We got this. We got it. We got this. We got all this. LSU. We got Jamar Chase. We got Jettis, right? We got Joe Burrow, right? They're going to put
Brian all, Thomas Jr.
There you go. So they can do that as well. So they got to get the better weather. And if you do got NFL dreams, these teams can really sway you with all the NFL talent they have in the league. So I think that's the one thing that the SEC, yeah, it is tougher football, seems like better football than most conferences, but these, most of the athletes come from down here. Let's just face it. South have most of the better athletes.
One last question to go ahead and round it up before we finish for today. Now that the inaugural year of the 12-team playoff has ended, What was your overall thoughts? Do you feel like 12 is the right number? Do you still feel like 4 was the better setup? Or do you feel like at this point in the game, you hold where it is, and then depending on what happens, you know, going forward, you may add or take away? Or like, what's your overall thoughts as far as the first year of the 12-team playoff is
concerned? I think it worked out. Okay. Of course, I mean, when you're picking the 12, it's going to be some guys like they got slighted. But these are 2 and 3 lost teams, right? So,
right.
I mean, it's not like back in the day when you was Boise State, you was one of these teams and you was undefeated and you got slighted. But these are teams with 3 and 4 losses talking trash. Like, man, we should have been in it, but it's cool, right? I think it worked its way out. 12 is fine. And I think the better team won. Let's face it, I think they got it right. So I'm cool with the 12, to be honest with you. Because the teams that felt like they got snubbed, I mean, you got 3 losses, bro. 4 losses, like, okay.
I think the thing that's going to end up working itself out and playing out for the better for college football in general is the fact that now teams are already scheduling. They're already putting together tougher schedules and tougher out of conference schedules, because it's okay to lose now. What it's not okay to do is get over on teams that you're supposed to win against. Because it's going to count against you if you do take that one loss. They've clearly shown that they'll put a team that has lost more than you in if they had a tougher schedule, and they showed at whatever point in the season, especially nearing the end, that they've kind of worked out some kinks. So the thing that I love about this setup for college football in general, I always felt like college was a lot less forgiving than the NFL, and it should be the other way around. You shouldn't have college kids in a situation where if you make one mistake of a game, that disqualifies you from doing anything else with the rest of your year. I never understood that logic. We don't do that in the NFL. Some of the champions that stick out the most are guys that we didn't even think that the wild card, the Giants beating the undefeated Patriots, that would have never happened if we didn't have teams that got it right towards the end that took L's in the beginning. So I feel like it's giving college teams now an opportunity to actually get better as the year goes by versus having to start out being the best and then end being the best, which isn't asked in any other sport that I can think of, pro or college. So I think that that's what's going to make college football more exciting going forward. The fact that you're going to see some teams playing against each other in week 6, 7, and 8 that would have never scheduled each other before.
Right.
So I honestly feel like I know some people are giving the argument that it's going to make the regular season less important. No, it's not less important. It's more, you have to now schedule games that you would have never scheduled. That actually makes it more important. That's going to make me want to watch college ball, even if it isn't necessarily my team, because of the matchup. So I believe that that's going to work out well for all parties involved. The fact that now you can get paid to go play anywhere. We won't have kids that are sitting on the bench in Alabama for 3 years and now they're about to be a junior or senior and they're finally getting their chance. Like, nobody's doing that anymore.
Right.
If I can go over yonder and get paid to play right now, that's where I'm going.
Right.
The other thing that we're going to see in college football, you're going to see a whole bunch of guys that end up playing their senior year, and some might end up playing 5 or 6 years as long as they still got eligibility, depending on what happened to them.
Right.
A lot of these guys are getting paid, like Carson Beck, for instance. Now he's going to be the quarterback for Miami. Or the 5-star that Michigan just paid $10 million to. You getting paid more than likely, more than what you were going to get in your rookie year or the first couple years of being in the NFL. Right. There's no longer a rush that I might get hurt or, you know, this, that, and the third. Nah, these kids are going to stay in college. And I think that works out well as well for all parties concerned, because your play year one in the NFL is going to be a little bit better because you got more games under your belt. Your play in college is going to be a little bit better because you're the vet versus them having to start a freshman that was going to be a 4 or 5-star. They can go ahead and rent you for a year, let that guy get a little bit, you know, comfortable, and we have a better product on the field because guys aren't just itching to leave as soon as they get the first ride out of there. So I'm just elated on the direction that college football is going. College football and pro football are different enough that you don't have to pick one or the other. But I do believe that the changes that are now being made will make the college game not quite on the level of viewership as the NFL. But you're going to have a lot more eyeballs on college just because you don't feel like your team is out of it by the time the first month of the season is over with.
Right. So,
that's kind of where my thought process is. Anything else you want to add before we go ahead and call it an evening?
No. No, I don't think it's anything.
Well, that pretty much wraps it up for us today. We will be back to you with the Gospel Sports Truth Podcast on Friday. Make sure you tune in. We are on YouTube at The Gospel STP. Again, that's at The Gospel STP. And if you have not joined the Facebook group yet, make sure you do so. That's The Gospel Sports Truth Facebook group. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we'll see y'all next time. And remember, always tell the truth, nothing but the truth. We out.